Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Eric Erickson Show. Once again, filling in for my good buddy, the conservative Viking, enjoying some time with family and friends as we get ready for this Thanksgiving holiday. Hope everybody out there is already making their plans. They know what they're going to do. And if you've had travel plans out west, I hope they somehow work out for you. I know you're going to be dealing with a lot of weather, and you know that's the way it works. As we head from the fall into the winter months, it's hard to predict when you're going to get those blasts of snow and ice and rain and whatever else. But please, be safe and sound and keep the radio on in the background, and we'll be with you here till the noontime hour. I'm Alan Sanders in here. If you want to call, it's 877-97-ERIC. That's E-R-I-C-K. Or it's 877-973-7425. I'm going to get into several topics, obviously, in the next 3 hours. But one of the things that I'm going to run throughout is tomorrow is, in fact, Thanksgiving. And it's a chance for us to all be... Well, take a moment to think about, well, what are you thankful for? I know you may be running around getting last-minute items, things that you need to put on the table, or worrying about an extra relative that's showing up unexpectedly, and do you have enough seats and enough places to put people? But even though you're worrying about the feast and feasting on this upcoming holiday, Thanksgiving 2019, what are you thankful for? What have you taken a second to just give yourself a moment's pause and say, well, okay, let me look back over the last 11 and a half months, almost 12, full 11 months, obviously, because Thanksgiving is very late this year. What are you thankful for? And do you take time to give thanks and to be thankful for what you have? Not yearning for what you don't have, not pining for what others have that you don't. Have you taken stock in your own life to decide what you might have to be thankful for? And if you want to share that, we'd love to put that on as well. So whatever I'm talking about at any point in time, if you'd like to come in and be part of the program and just kind of share your thoughts on what are you thankful for? Are you thankful for the economy? Are you thankful for friends and family? Did somebody recently overcome an illness? Did somebody bring you an unexpected gift or joy this past year? Did something happen? A child making their getting into college, the college of their dreams? If you've got something that you would like to talk about or just drop that in, I'd love to talk to you about that, because you know what? Sometimes in talk, we get so mired in what's going on the day-to-day of news and politics, and that's part of our job. We have to also remember that we're thankful here, too. I'm 100% thankful to Eric for being a good friend of mine. I'm thankful to all the folks that listen in to whenever I'm on the air, whether it's one radio station or another, wherever I may happen to be. For all of the listeners of the stuff that I've done, whether it's a podcast or a commercial or whatever, you know, without you guys, we say this all the time in theater, without butts in seats, all that work, all the effort, all the desire to do something creative and fun and worthwhile and witty, it doesn't matter if there's nobody in the audience. So eternally grateful to all my friends, family, and listeners each and every single broadcast day. You guys are fantastic, and I appreciate you guys. Let's dive into the first topic right here, because one of the things we're hearing about is the polling with the latest round of impeachment, those open inquiries that were held two weeks ago and then wrapped up last week. We had 4 different days, multiple witness testimony. And I want to put it this way, because I think a lot of people may have already predetermined what they believe. And they may have decided what they believe based on certain headlines, and depending when in the day you read those headlines or saw those headlines on social media. But every single day during the impeachment hearings, every single day, and I'm not making this up, this is every single witness, always started off with a statement and then the opening questions by Adam Schiff and the attorney representing the Democrat Party. Every single opening always painted that witness as, wow, they're going to have some damning evidence on President Trump. They've got the goods. Adam Schiff found the smoking gun. And I had this conversation with lots of friends of mine saying, you know what? You know, one of the things we pride ourselves on is being open to new information. I suggest that all the time to whoever's listening in the audience. Be open to new information. You may have made up your mind based on what you've gotten so far, but don't close yourself off to new facts. Don't close yourself off to new information. You never know. You may have to massage your opinion. And my good buddy Walt, he and I were chatting the other day, and I said, you know, if before we had some of these speakers, I said, you know, when they put Soldman on and he did his 23-page read of his statement and he said there was a quid pro quo and he was like going to go on the record. He had it in his opening statement. Adam Schiff asked him about it. He said, yes, there was a definite quid pro quo. And I was like, oh, my gosh. And then that's when Adam Schiff did that thing where I've never seen this happen. I'm sure it has, but I've never seen it happen. Before the before Devin Nunes, who is the ranking member of the opposition party, gets to do his opening 45 of the witness and or hand it over to the attorney from the GOP, Adam Schiff took a break. As soon as Soldman made his statement and he went on the record saying, yes, there was a quid pro quo, it was amazing that he... Adam Schiff calls a timeout. He says, all right, let's take a quick break. Let's take about 10 minutes, and then we'll get back. And I know Devin Nunes had that look of, well, wait a minute. You had the opening. You guys got a chance to question. At the very least, before we take a break, you should let us get our 45 minutes in. But no, he took it, and you know what he did? Ran to every microphone. Made a little press conference. It's almost like it was planned. Guess what? We've got the ambassador to the EU. The ambassador to the EU on the record saying, yes, there was a quid pro quo. And every radio station and every television outlet and every one of the talking heads and social media was ablaze with talk that yes, there was evidence of a quid pro quo. And Sondland is sitting there with that smug little face, just sitting there, yeah, yep, sure is. And then those headlines, man, you know what they say? The lie gets halfway around the world before the truth gets out of bed. It was amazing. As soon as Devin Nunes had a chance to reconvene and made a comment about the apparently the press conference that Adam Schiff absolutely had to hold, he asks, said, so you heard the president specifically say that the funding for the Ukraine was tied to the favor, was tied to a meeting, was tied to an investigation. Well, I perceive that to be the case. And Devin Nunes said, I'm sorry? He said, yeah. I mean, it was a pretty foregone conclusion. Well, but did you hear it? Did he say it to you? You said you were in direct contact with the president. Did he ever say, yes, I want you to do this, but only let the president of the Ukraine, let him know if he wants that aid, he better follow through. Did you hear those words? And he's like, well, no, but it was pretty obvious what was intended. Well, but do you have any evidence? Did you actually hear an order? Was something, you know, do you have something in black and white? Do you have a direct conversation? Well, no, but it was my perception. Now, I get when you have a gut sense of things or you think you know what's happening, but let me ask every single person in the audience, have you ever thought you knew what was coming? And it turned out you were wrong, even though you had a perception of what was going to happen. You know, there's a reason why in the court of law, you don't get taken to court. You don't get arrested under a presumption. Now, you might get arrested if somebody has enough circumstantial evidence. But in the court of law, where you have that chance to prove or to help show that you didn't do something, the only presumption we have is the presumption of innocence. That's the only time in a legal standing that we're having a conversation where a person in court has a presumption against them. We better never turn it around to a presumption of guilt, and it's up to you to prove your innocence. Because think about that. What if your neighbor just doesn't like you? You know, there's some of you out there that have those neighbors that you just are constantly having that little spat. What if your neighbor says, well, I presume that you are downloading child porn? Is it okay to go to court? Is it okay for charges to be levied against you under a presumption just because they believe in their heart you are doing that? What if they're, whatever the case might be, they think you aren't paying your taxes. They think that you're doing something illicit. You're doing something wrong. Maybe they believe, wow, every Friday night they're throwing raucous parties. I bet they're doing drugs. I bet they're doing drugs in there. They go crazy every Friday night. Well, is that evidence? And do you want our judicial system to be turned on its head with a presumption, which basically is a fancy way of saying, well, in the absence of any direct evidence, we're going to make an assumption. We're going to assume. Well, we've all know that phrase, what happens when you assume, right? You can break that word down. Just spell assume and break it out into its various individual parts, the last parts being you and me. You got to be careful with that. And the fact of the matter is every single witness, no matter how strong their opening statement, no matter how much Adam Schiff wanted to run to the cameras and talk about, we've got it, we've got the smoking gun, here's what's being said, every single time under cross-examination, under questioning, which is how our system works, every single time, when finally put to the test, did you hear anything directly? Do you have direct evidence? We had the congressman from Ohio who said, you know what hearsay is? Hearsay is when somebody who heard something tells me what they heard. Do you know what presumption is? When you just make something up out of nothing. You're just making it up. You don't know. Nobody even told you. You're saying to us, you presume, you think, you feel, you believe, you want to believe, you understand it to be so. But not a single witness, all the entire time, not a single person could provide any direct evidence. Now, I've got some new buddies that are not fans of President Trump. In fact, based on things they said back in 2016, they thought the candidate was a joke. And they couldn't imagine anybody more worse for this country than a reality TV star. And that was their perception. They believed that President Trump was the worst possible candidate to ever run. And then when he won, oh my gosh, you know, just could not believe how dumb the country was to elect that person to be the president, to be the commander in chief. And thanks to these impeachment hearings, they basically said, I can't believe it. Adam Schiff is actually getting me to side for the president of the United States. He's getting me, as much as I still don't like this guy, although they've softened in their stance seeing some of the accomplishments, they've said, you know, it's almost like I don't have a choice but to feel like I've got to support or I got to at least defend him because of the stupidity of what's going on. And you know what's going to happen now? We get to have even more. Oh, yeah. We're going to go over now to the Judiciary Committee, which is the committee that's designed to write articles if they choose to go forward. And don't get me wrong. I think those articles were written probably weeks and weeks and weeks ago. I think this was planned. What the lawyer for the whistleblower tweet out a week after Donald Trump was inaugurated? The coup has begun. We're not going to stand for this. Impeachment is the way we get rid of this person. There has been a dedicated and forced movement within certain elements of not only the Democrat Party, obviously some of the high-ranking Democrats, but some of those lifelong bureaucrats, lifelong members of the intel community, lifelong members of the bureaucracy, foreign service, people who liked things the way they were or got to that point where they feel like, hey, I'm calling the shots, right? It's sort of my job. I've been in foreign service a lot longer than this president. Why should I change the course of the past two or three administrations? This is the way we've gone. I'm not going to acknowledge, or I'm going to do everything I can to not implement or to ignore. That's not how it works. And whether you like it or not, the Constitution is quite clear who sets foreign policy. That's your commander in chief. And every 4 years, we get a chance to reelect or elect a new commander-in-chief, unless their term's coming up, in which case only two terms. So the maximum we keep Donald Trump in office is another 5 years. The minimum, well, unless somehow something pops up where not only do you get impeachment, which is just the call for the trial, but the then vote to remove, You've got Donald Trump until November of 2020, until the election. And if somebody manages to beat him, then and only then will Donald Trump be out of office. And I don't think you're going to see him removed, even if articles of impeachment are filed. I think they're going to do it. I don't think they can stop themselves. I think whatever lies they've told themselves, whatever beliefs they've clung to for so long, for these 3+ years, with all of the investigations, with all of the talking points, with all of the people saying every night on the media and talking heads and people being interviewed, oh, yes, this is the next breaking bombshell. This is the next, this is the walls are closing in. If you're a fan of Eric, obviously he's played before a collection. It's like 2 minutes. And if you get to see the video, and he's posted it on his Twitter account and places, but it actually shows the year rolling, the month and the year rolling forward of all of these people telling us over and over and over and over again for years, for the 3+ years now that this man's been in office, for the at least three years that he's been in office, 3 years since he's been elected, that here it is. We finally got it. The walls are closing in. We've got him. We've got this is the bombshell. This is the smoking gun. This is what's going to do him in. This is it. He'll have to resign. He's not going to make it. There's no way he'll stay in office. Aren't you guys tired of hearing that every night, only to find out the next morning they were still wrong, that Donald Trump is still in office, that the world hasn't ended, the economy's doing well, the employment numbers are doing well, you've got a lot of bureaucracy being removed, you've got small businesses being able to flourish, you see the economy, you know, again, I said that, but the economy is seeing those, you know, we're seeing a move forward. And I think what happens is you've got certain people who are so steeped in their belief that Donald Trump is bad or wrong, or not the person we want in office, that they feel it's somehow their duty to do whatever it takes to remove him. And we don't have that in our Constitution. There is nowhere in the Constitution that it's written, nor did our framers ever intend to have it written, that political discourse or political disagreement is a grounds for impeachment. Nowhere in there can you find that. It's pretty clear. It's bribery, it's conspiracy, or it's basically, you know, conspiring against your own nation. It's being the Benedict Arnold, right? Or high crimes and misdemeanors. And that has always been defined as something to do with something that is helping to bolster the office of the presidency or your own personal fortune or something like that. It has never been about jaywalking. It has never been about making a phone call and saying, hey, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, you scratch my back, I scratch yours. I mean, even if you want to believe that Adam Schiff has a case to be made that you won't give a country foreign aid unless they do something for you, you know, technically, that's not a high crime and misdemeanor. I mean, how many presidents do you think, especially in the age of terrorism, have said, well, you know what? Hold that thought. We're going to take a quick break, and then I will carry that through on the backside of this. Take care. All right, Alan Sanders back in here for Eric Erickson, and I went a little long on that segment. I wasn't focused on the clock. I was so focused on telling you guys, you know, what's been going on and trying to keep you aware of how things are being positioned and how things are being kind of spoon-fed to you. And if you don't sort of pull back and pay attention, you can be very easily misled over what's going on. And, you know, my thought on this as we head to the bottom of the hour is you have folks who are so into wanting to go after the president. And I was saying to you that, you know, in this age of terrorism, do you honestly think Barack Obama would not have been justified to go to another country, pick up the phone and say, hey, look, I know you've got some sanctions on you, but we also have intelligence that there's a potential attack. So tell you what, let's work together because neither one of us wants – you don't want to be known as the country that might be harboring people, and we don't need another attack. So you work with me, I'll work with you. Maybe we can make something happen. That's called negotiation. That's just called learning how to work together. That's just business. This idea that Donald Trump, who was just wanting to make sure that, hey, is this money going to be used for what we say it's going to be used for? I mean, it's not like the Ukraine has had the long track record of using everything above board and being perfect. In fact, there's a lot of corruption within the Ukraine. There's a lot of corruption with the former president, a lot of corruption with Burisma, that company, a lot of corruption with folks who have been doing deals with those energy companies. So it's perfectly reasonable for the current president of the United States, who was dogged by a bunch of bad actors and a bunch of bad information, to maybe say, hey, before we go forward, do we have that agreement? Are we still going to, you know, you're going to follow up on corruption like you said when you ran for office? And let's remind you, when we come back, there actually is a treaty in place between our countries. Thanksgiving to you. Well, the eve of Thanksgiving. But, you know, a lot of you folks may even be doing some of your prep today, getting it all ready, depending how many people you're having at the house, what you're doing, who you're supporting, or maybe you're packing because you're going somewhere, letting someone else do all the work. If you want to call in, it's 877-97-ERIC. That's E-R-I-C-K. Or 877-973-7425. Throughout the course of the morning, regardless of what I'm talking about, from now until noon, one of the things I threw out there, and I'm going to actually in the next hour kind of give a little backdrop on Thanksgiving, how it started, where it came from, why do we celebrate it, that we were one of the first nations in the modern world, or at least in the Western world, to actually establish a day of thanks. And so I think it's important to remind ourselves of that, and I'll do that next hour. But if you've got something you want to call in, if you're thankful for something, would love to hear from you. If it's something I've said in my opening comments so far triggers something, good or bad, if you want to challenge me, that's totally cool as well. I am always open to the conversation. It's great for me as well to hear other points of views and perspectives, and that's one of the things that I like to do. I'm going to be pretty challenging if you bring me some information that I know to be false, so make sure you've got your facts in order. But it's always a lot of fun to have the dialogue. And too many of us are afraid to have the dialogue anymore. And part of it is, I think, the reaction from the really, really militant opposition, whether it's on the one side or the other. When folks feel like they're going to yell in your face for having a different perspective, a different political persuasion, you know, you see the number of these Antifa crowds, and there's plenty of video evidence that they themselves are the fascists. They themselves are the ones out there doing, you know, hurting others, doing things to be not just disruptive, but criminal. You know, there's no problem with protesting, but here's where the Constitution is really, really clear. The Bill of Rights are pretty clear on this. The minute you do anything to me, to myself, my life, to infringe on my life, my liberty, my property, guess what? You have infringed on the rights that I have under the very same Constitution that gives you the right to protest. You have the right to protest. You do not have the right to throw a shake in my face or rip my hat off and throw it away, or punch me, or hit me over the head, or throw stuff on me. You do not have the right to commit assault or battery or both. That's just one of those fundamental things that's been in our Constitution forever. And the idea that there's people out there that are so upset that someone might have a different perspective, because you know what it is? They've already decided in their own minds. They've decided, I have all the answers, therefore anything that runs contrary to what I already have decided, those people are bad. And therefore, it's okay to shout them down. And it's okay to hurt them. And it's okay to belittle them. And it's okay to bully them. And it's okay to do all the things that I don't normally agree with in normal, you know, my normal course of life. But as long as it's going against what I fundamentally believe to be wrong, then it's okay. Well, that's dumb. And you know what I've discovered from a lot of people, and this, it doesn't even have to be about politics. It doesn't even have to be about a candidate. It doesn't have to be about any one particular big current event. It could be as simple as, you know, which church has a better service, or why do you believe what you believe in X, Y, or Z? The people, you pick a topic, and I feel this is an axiom that can be used over and over and over again, because how true it is. The less somebody is able to articulate their position, they know they believe it for whatever reason. They've picked a position, but the less capable they are in articulating their position, the less they understand why they side with that or can defend it, outside of just yelling talking points, but there's a difference between regurgitating and truly understanding your position and being able to defend it. The ones who can't, the ones who have just staked a position because their favorite singer said the same thing, their favorite actor said the same thing, their favorite athlete said the same thing, or whatever, that those are the people that when you challenge them, they get so bent out of shape because they already are barely hanging on to their belief because they know they can't really, they can't articulate. They can't figure out why they believe entirely. They only know talking points. And so when you do ask questions, the ones who have really thought it through usually have no problem having a conversation with you. I've had some of the best conversations with people who are avowed leftists, and they have no problem saying they are, and they tell me why they believe that. But the ones who get angry, the ones who are willing to then strike you, the ones who are willing to slap you down, steal your sign, take your hat, are the ones that haven't been able to figure out how to articulate their own position, and because it looks like you're challenging them, they revert to their most basic primal instinct. I feel like I'm being attacked. It's my turn to I'm going to attack back. It's either fight or flight, and so that's a trigger. And when you are hanging on by a very thin thread to your own personal beliefs, that you are so triggered by anybody who might scratch below the surface to see just how much you really do know, that's when people go violent. That's when people go crazy. That's when people do dumb things. So if you're one of those people who find yourself always irrationally getting upset when people are wearing a red MAGA hat, or when they say they do support Trump, or for whatever reason they say, you know, I didn't vote for him, but I kind of like where the country is. I'm going to vote for him now. And you find yourself just going like just white hot angry, you better start looking inside first, because you may have some issues with the fact that you don't understand your position so well. And I get you're like, oh, no, I understand my position. I just don't understand how anybody could like Donald Trump. OK, so you understand your position, but you're not willing to take a moment to understand the other person's perspective. Once again, having already decided you know everything. That's an awful big burden to hoist on your shoulders. I mean, we do my wife and I with some friends of ours, we do a trivia night usually once a week where we just kind of get together. It's a chance to hang out, and you know, you win some bar bucks if you come in first, second, or third that you can only use back. But it's fun to just kind of hang out. But I will tell you this, I am so glad I don't know everything. That is an awful big burden. I am so happy when I say like a topic comes up, and let's say the topic is neuroscience. Well, we've got a guy who teaches science and chemistry and biology. We look to Dave. We go, Dave, this one's you. Not me. Don't look at me. I wish I could say I know everything. I don't. So here you go. Comes to Shakespeare or literature or movies. People tend to look at me or they look at my wife. My wife is really so good at trivia. It's ridiculous. But nobody in our group knows everything. It's a combined effort. And we all learn more by having listened to the people in our own group that are better experts in their areas. I cannot imagine what that must be like to wake up in the morning realizing I have figured everything out and just how angry you are that nobody wants to listen to you. That's got to be a massive burden to carry with you. Maybe you should figure out how to lighten that load. Once again, 877-97-ERIC. That's 877-973-7425. If you want to weigh in on that, if you want to weigh in on Thanksgiving and what you might be thankful for. CNN's running a poll now, thanks to the impeachment open inquiries that we were talking about so far. And I think it's funny. You've got a couple of organizations that are basically trying to say, well, the country's divided. The country's at 50-50. They want him out. They want him impeached. They want him removed. I got to be honest. I wonder how many people even know the difference between impeachment and being removed from office. Because one can trigger the other, but one isn't automatically the other. Bill Clinton had impeachment charges filed against him. Bill Clinton was impeached. He had articles of impeachment drafted and brought against him. And guess what? In the Senate, where the trial took place, neither of the charges got up to the 67 votes needed, the two-thirds of the Senate needed, for that charge to stick to result in a removal from office. That's why Bill Clinton never got pulled from office. Oh, yeah, he lied under oath and he lost his license to practice law. He was disbarred as a result of breaking the law. He lied. He perjured himself. And if there's anybody in your circle that's like, oh, it's only about, you know, his private life and why he got it for having sex with an intern. No, No, that's not. You go read the articles of impeachment. There is absolutely nothing about an intern. There's absolutely nothing about any kind of activity that may or may not have taken place underneath the desk. It's all about lying under oath to perjure yourself. Now, you can say, yeah, but he perjured himself because he was embarrassed, and I don't disagree. I did not think that going after Bill Clinton that way made any sense whatsoever. It didn't. And I have to wonder how much of this is that, you know, that anger, the tit for tat that the Democrats are now saying to themselves, hey, we've got somebody we despise in office. We can't believe he's in office. We thought we had a smoking gun with Russia. We thought we had a smoking gun with collusion. We thought we had a smoking gun with the Mueller report. We thought we were able to infiltrate the organization by lying on FISA warrants. All that's coming up, by the way, in the next couple of weeks. We did what we could to get in there to get the information we needed, and he still is in office. We're going to do whatever it takes. And, oh, here's a phone call. We're going to get rid of him. How much of that is still that residual, you did it to Bill, it probably shouldn't have been done? I get why the Republicans felt empowered, because under Bill Clinton in the first midterm, you started the Republican Revolution the first time. Republicans took the House and the Senate. You want to know why Bill Clinton was so effective? A lot of people look at how effective he was as a president. He loved using triangulation. He loved taking a look at all the multiple polls and trying to figure out, okay, based on any one topic, put my finger in the air, figure out which way the strongest breeze is blowing, and pick that position. Well, you can be awfully popular when you pick the majority opinion on any topic, even if it feels like you're being inconsistent. Now you throw in there a Republican House and a Republican Senate trying to force you to actually stick to the Constitution and follow the rules. Well, you kind of have no choice, you know? The budget that was put in place, oh, yeah, Bill Clinton signed it, but guess who wrote it? It was the Republicans in office, right? It was the folks, it was the Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich and company, under that revolution that kind of brought the executive branch back, and they all were talking more, and they worked together more, you know? But I do think that the Republicans got a little too full of themselves. They went forward on charges that, although legitimate, I mean, that is a pretty serious crime to lie under oath. I mean, people go to jail for that, okay? That's not a phone call where you're saying, hey, do me a favor, okay? You know, there's been a lot of problems with Ukraine. There's been issues with, you know, the company CrowdStrike. Can you kind of look into that? Can you look into the corruption, you know? Not even in the same sentence saying, hey, if you want your money, you're going to do me this favor. It's not the Adam Schiff parody that he got caught on. Remember that first day, it's a month ago now, where he started off the hearing saying, here is the narrative from the phone call. Here's what that phone call was all about. And he invented the entire conversation. He put words in there that were not in there. He put demands in there that were not in the. And we all had the transcript. It's released. You can still to this day go read it. And then when he finally gets called on it, almost an hour into those open discussions, he gets called on it and he goes, well, okay, I was only parodying the phone call. I was trying to do that for effect. Well, wait a minute. You're the chair of the House Intelligence Committee. You've told us for 2.5 years you've seen evidence of Russian collusion, of obstruction. You've seen the evidence. You went on one television program after another promising the audience, you've seen it, it's coming. Well, you know, Adam, if you've got it, why didn't you turn it over to the Mueller team? Why didn't you give it to them? If you guaranteed that you've seen the evidence and Robert Mueller and 25 or 30 or however many millions of dollars they spent with the number of lawyers, the number of depositions, the number of witnesses, you're telling me that all of that effort couldn't find the evidence that you yourself went on for 2 years talking about? And then you go and you parody the phone call that everyone could go out and read for themselves if they wanted to? How can I trust a thing that's coming from your mouth? How can anybody, if you fully believe, you're listening to me right now, and you still fully believe Donald Trump did something impeachable, how do you trust that that word is coming from Adam Schiff? Because he's already lied for the last 3 years. He's already told us he had the evidence, didn't produce it. He assured us that the Mueller investigation was going to bring charges, didn't happen. He assured us that the Mueller testimony was going to clarify, didn't happen. Now he's assured that the phone call with the Ukrainian new Ukrainian president is going to lead to his undoing. He assured us there was quid pro quo. He went on a news a presser right after Sondland did his opening statement and said, "Oh, we got him." The EU ambassador said, yes, there was quid pro quo, only to find out 3 hours later, every media outlet had to admit, oh, yeah, he really never heard the president. In fact, he had to go on the record saying the president specifically said to him, I want nothing. I want nothing. I want no quid pro quo. I want the president to do the right thing. I want him to do what he ran on. Wow, that's a whole lot different than saying we have evidence of quid pro quo. Hey, why don't you guys do that? Apparently, a lot of you went out there and broke his email. Poor Eric. Yeah, I'll send you my turkey gumbo recipe. Then crash. No, that's awesome. That is great. That just goes to show you how many of you out there really do listen in and value the work that Eric brings to you every single weekday, Monday through Friday, 9 to noon across his network of stations here in Georgia. Big shout out to you folks in Athens, Rome, Dalton, Jasper, Adel, Valdosta, Vidalia, Clarksville, and that list continues to grow and expand. Definitely a good group of folks out there in radio stations that are listening and pulling Eric in. So we have a voice that's not only covering what's happening on the national stage, but also on the local stage, especially here in the state of Georgia, where so many outside influences are certainly trying to turn the state blue. They feel it's a purple state already. We'll have to wait and see how the next election cycle goes. A lot of the polls, and I started off that last segment about the polling, and I wanted to also tie back into the concept of the treaty that we have. You know, I mentioned Bill Clinton earlier. Bill Clinton actually put a treaty in place with the Ukraine. Did you guys know that? Yep, we have a treaty in place. And that treaty specifically calls on each nation to be cooperative with each other in any criminal investigation, including the rooting out of any criminal corruption, any misappropriation of funds, any money laundering, or any kind of impropriety that would sort of paint either nation in a bad light. A treaty exists between our two nations that says, if you suspect that some kind of criminal activity or corruption of some kind that could lead to criminal charges is taking place or has taken place, you owe it to the treaty, but to each other and to the relationship to bring it up. It is not an option. I mean, I guess you could ignore it. But honestly, when Donald Trump had the phone call with Zelensky, the brand new president who ran on an anti-corruption platform, saying that the Ukraine was going to have to stop being some kind of, you know, third world dictatorship type of government where you're funneling money and only the people in power are getting rich and not enough's actually happening to develop the country, to develop the nation, to head toward more of a democratic self-rule. And President Trump knows, because regardless of what Dr. Hill testified, there is corruption in the Ukraine. There is corruption in Russia. There's corruption in China. You know, it's not just pick one and that's the only country that has any evidence of corruption. And by the way, the idea that the Ukrainians didn't maybe take part in some disinformation campaign in the 2016 election, there's reports already on file that they fully believe that Hillary Clinton was going to win. And so in order to try to curry favor with the next president, which was in their minds Hillary Clinton, they had no problem putting a cyber campaign together and putting information out in social media to make Donald Trump look bad. So they could pat themselves on the back later and say, okay, Madam President, now that we did this for you, we need you to do something for us. Uh-oh, guess what happened? She didn't win. Whoops. Well, that's what happens when you put all your eggs in one basket, right? So there's already evidence of that. And for Dr. Hill to act like, well, no, I don't believe there was any evidence of any impropriety from the Ukraine. Oh, please. Oh, please. Really? A former communist, a member of the United Soviet Socialist Republic, a country that has struggled to become its own independent nation state, but has been mired in one corrupt scandal after another and one corrupt official after another, including the outgoing president. And oh, but there's no impropriety in the Ukraine. I can surely stake my reputation on that. Please. Don't be so naive out there and only hear what you want to hear. You've got a career Foreign Service politician who does not like this president, doesn't believe the president has any authority. And in fact, I fully believe that all of them have convinced themselves that he's not really the president, that because he is an illegitimate president, that therefore anything he says policy-wise, any commands, any orders. I mean, look what happened to the Secretary of the Navy over a guy that was acquitted of the murder charge. And President Trump steps in to pardon him because he wants him to be able to retire with his trident as a Navy SEAL. And the Secretary of the Navy is like, I don't have to listen to a tweet. What? No, that's not how it works. You may not like the president. You may think Donald Trump is a scumbag dirt bucket who's got no business setting policy. But we have a constitution. We have a rule of law. We have precedents. And we are a free country. And one of the things that we have always been able to pride ourselves on as a nation is however much we disagree with the person who wins the next election, we always have had a peaceful turnover of power, not the silent coup. And now we've got pretty much a vocal coup that says we don't even recognize this president. So it's OK for us to we could probably pass a lie detector if we just said, I didn't do anything incorrect. I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't do anything against this president because in their minds, he's not their president. But it doesn't work that way. You don't get to pick and choose who your boss is. You have a new CEO in town, and that new CEO is looking at the employees going, there's some improvements that we can make around here. And boy, that is not making the employees all that happy. Well, we can get into that and more. We'll also talk a little bit about the history of Thanksgiving when we come back. Top of the hour. Stick around.